Gotta get those hands going.
How is everyone today? Excellent, excellent. Well, if you've noticed, we've been putting some announcements up on our screens, so that's just a variety of different things that you will find in your bulletin. So if you can't quite pinpoint what those words say, a lot of these are in your bulletin in more detail, so feel free to open the inside flap of your bulletin, take a look at those, and just to kind of get more detail with that, as well as just some extra announcements that are here as well that aren't going to appear behind us. And also, at some point, if you would remember to tear out your connection card, fill that out and drop that in the offering plate towards the end of service so that we can have record of you being here. Whether you've been a member for a long time filling it out or whether this is your first time, go ahead and be sure to fill that out so that we'll know. Eric, do you have anything? All right, you guys ready to start? Let's do it. Let's pray. God, we praise you. We worship you. God, all the glory and honor belongs to you. Your word says to trust in you with all our hearts and to lean not on our own understanding, that we should in all our ways acknowledge you and you will make our path straight. God, help us to acknowledge you. Help us to live and to step in the directions and in the ways that you would have us go, Father. Speak to our hearts only in the way that you know how. God, move on our hearts, and we ask that you just draw us closer to you, and that we could see you, that we can feel you, that we can hear you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. At this time, if you would, grab your hymnals and turn to hymn number 158. Come, Christians, join to sing. If you would stand when you get that as well.
This morning will be presented by Max and Chico.
He socked him. He bopped him. He let him have it.
He did what to who?
The bad guy. He let him have it. He knocked him into next week.
Who knocked whom into next week and why?
Spidey. Duh. Who else? He let that bad guy have it.
Oh my goodness. Are you talking about Spider-Man again?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Spidey.
Were you watching a little too much TV again?
I don't think so. I think that I was watching just the right amount.
Well, you're getting pretty excited about a TV show.
Not just a TV show. It's Spidey.
You do know that Spider-Man is not real, don't you?
Don't say that.
It's the truth. Your Spidey is just a made-up character.
Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so.
It is true.
I know, but I love to imagine that he's real. I like to imagine that I am Spidey with all his superhero powers.
Well, Spidey is not real, but you really do have superpowers.
What? You mean my fingers can spit webs and I can crawl up buildings?
No, not that. That's baby stuff compared to your real superpowers.
Can I fly?
Not exactly, but better.
What do you mean? What kind of powers do I have that nobody else has?
Actually, everyone here has superpowers. We all have superpowers. We just have to know how to use them and develop them.
Are you pulling my chain?
Pulling your chain?
Yeah. Are you teasing me? Are you joking? Are you joshing, kidding, fooling, playing around with me?
Not at all. I'm completely serious.
Tell me more. What are you waiting on?
Okay, you see, when Jesus was on the earth...
I love Jesus!
That's great. When Jesus was here on earth...
Jesus is my favorite.
That is great to know, but do you want to know about superpowers or not?
Yeah, I'm just waiting on you.
All right. As I was saying, when Jesus was on earth,
I love Jesus. He is the greatest superhero of all.
Okay, Max, we all know you love Jesus, and that is great. But if you want to know about your superpowers, then you will have to quit interrupting.
Even when you say the name of Jesus?
Yes, even when I say the name of Jesus.
That is so hard because I just love him so much. Every time I hear his name, I want to shout.
That is really good, but the Bible also tells us that we have to practice self-control.
Yes, Chico, but Jesus really was a real superhero.
Yes, he was. Are you ready to listen now?
My lips are shut.
Finally.
I mean, they are sealed.
Great.
Mum's the word.
Okay, Max.
My lips are locked and I threw away the key.
Max!
Sorry, I was just saying, are you going to tell us about the superpowers or not? What are you waiting on anyways?
As I was saying, when Jesus was on the earth, he was the greatest superhero of all. We know that Jesus is the Son of God who never sinned. He died on the cross for our sins, which is more than enough to make him the greatest superhero of all. But Jesus did a lot of other very powerful things when he was on the earth. Jesus healed sick people, he made blind people see, deaf people hear, crippled people walk, and he even brought people that died back to life. Jesus was, is, and will always be the greatest superhero ever.
Yeah, and Jesus is really real. He's not made up like Spidey.
That's right, Max. Jesus is real, and he's alive.
And Jesus is so amazing, but what does this have to do with my superpowers?
Well, Jesus said that if we have faith, just the tiniest bit, faith the size of a mustard seed, which is teeny, tiny, weensy seed, it's only just a little speck. Jesus said if we had enough faith this much, then we will be able to do everything that he has done. Jesus said with only a little bit of faith, we would be able to do even greater things than he has done. Jesus said faith with a little faith, we can move mountains.
You mean to tell me if we have the faith, then we can move mountains, heal people, and do even greater things than Jesus?
That's right, but you have to believe and have faith.
Okay, what is this faith? Exactly where do I get it?
Hebrews 11:1 said that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things we do not see.
I do not see God or Jesus, but I am certain that they are there.
Right. When you pray for a miracle, you are hoping for it, but you should also believe for it too. We need to believe that God will answer our prayers and give us the miracle that we are hoping for.
So if I pray for the new video game and believe, then God will give it to me?
No, that's not how it works.
So what can I get?
It's not about what you can get, but about what you're willing to give.
I don't understand.
In order to develop faith, we need to spend time in God's word and in prayer and in church. If we want to build strong faith, we have to learn all we can about Jesus. We need to be willing to give our time and give up other things so that we can spend time with God.
God is a superhero.
Yes, he is.
Do you think that if I keep praying, learning about God, believing, and doing my best to follow his ways, that I could pray for sick people and God will heal them?
Yes, definitely. You can pray for great and mighty things and they will happen. But you have to keep praying, believing, and reading your Bible every day. You really have to make a commitment to follow God in all his ways. It isn't easy to develop superhero faith, but you can do it if you want to. You just have to make a commitment to put God first in all you do.
I want that kind of faith. I want superhero faith. I want the faith that heals. I want the faith that moves mountains.
I think we all do. Let's pray that God helps us build our faith stronger.
Okay. Dear God, help us to build, develop, strengthen, and discipline our faith. Help us to seek you and put you first in all we do. Make evident your power within us, Lord, so it will strengthen our faith and bring glory to your name. Let us love all that you love, Jesus. Let us desire, become one with your Jesus. We pray right now that you will work within us so that we can accomplish everything you have created for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the back of your bulletin today, you'll find our concerns for our members of our congregations and those we love who are facing some difficult times. We ask that you would take this home and remember these people in your prayers this week. We especially lift up Warren and Vicki Schroeder on the death of their grandson this week, and John Wooderson on the death of his mother. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and glad in it. We are so grateful to be living on the earth we created, that you created, that gives us everything we need and beauty besides. We are grateful for friends and family, that we have the joy of loving and being loved in return. We are grateful for the bodies that we live in, that are millions of miracles all tied into one. You show your love for us in millions of gifts of extravagant generosity every moment that we live and beyond. But we come to you today too with concerns for our world and those we love. We come to you concerned about the war-torn world in which we live. We yearn for peace, but self-interest so often gets in the way. We are in desperate need of your wisdom. Please lift up the peacemakers. We pray for our country, for our leaders and lawmakers and all who have a part in public service. Make them pure in motive, wise in counsel, and strong in action, doing what is right in your sight. We pray for ourselves as members of your church. Purify our hearts as we ask only for the knowledge of your will and the courage to do it, to the end that your kingdom may come upon the earth. Father, we ask your blessing upon those we've named as concerns. Extend your mercy to all who are facing hard times, the poor, the sick, the grieving, the anxious, and those who are suffering from the fury of the elements or from the violence of men. As they face the challenges ahead, may they feel your love and our love too. Inspire us, in us, the will to help those in need. May we reflect only your image as we minister to them. And finally, we pray for our pastor as he delivers the message. May the words of his mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you would grab your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 is the last chapter in this book, and in this Paul is really closing out some of the things he wanted to communicate to the Philippians, and really it's just a big exhortation, a big encouragement, a big prayer. It's almost like football players headbutting each other before they're about to go on the field. I mean, that's kind of the equivalent of what Paul's wanting to say here. It's just, come on guys, get fired up, be encouraged, you know, let's go and let's do this. So once you have Philippians chapter 4, okay, if you would hold your place and stand. Okay, lift your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, for those of you who don't have your Bibles with you, the words are up on the screen. Paul writes, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Think on these things." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Kathy. I want to talk with you a little bit today about the importance of guarding your mind and controlling your thought life. Have you ever noticed how some folks are always negative, always beaten down, always defeated? They're never good enough, bright enough, or talented enough. This morning we're going to talk about how your mind plays a tremendously important role in your walk of faith. See, when you're born again, or when you make Jesus Christ the Lord and leader of your life, or as John Wesley puts it, when you are justified, the Holy Spirit infuses the life of God within you and within your spirit person, and you are a changed person. All things old have passed away, and all things new have been created. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that we become, well, maybe I don't have it, we become brand new. We become new creatures in Christ. It is so important for us to understand, however, that although God totally makes our inside person completely brand new, He doesn't change our physical bodies or our memories. All right? That spiritual change begins to change our minds and our bodies, but that change comes through choices that we make because of the spiritual changes that God has provided within us. He leaves both of these areas up to us to take care of. And what makes that tough, though, is that the mind is Satan's favorite place to work. He can't touch your spirit once you've accepted Christ. But he does have influence over your mind if you allow him. The Bible also says that you're in the palm of God's hand, excuse me, and no one can snatch you away, but Satan can deceive you in the mental area if you allow him to. Jesus called Satan in John 8:44 the father of all lies and all that is false. I can't think of any other area that keeps more people in bondage than this particular area, our thought life. Satan specializes in worry, fear, anxiety, confusion, and doubt. He is the master deceiver, and he knows that he can control and manipulate our entire life by simply affecting the way that we think. Your mind is the bullseye of Satan's target. The only entrance Satan has into your personality, your emotions, into your thoughts, is through your mind. And guess what? Who controls that ever important doorway? Who controls that? We do. I do. You do. The only access the enemy has in your life is the access that you and I allow him to have. Ephesians 4:27 says to give no place to the devil. To give no place to the devil. Don't give him any place in your mind or in your thoughts. You've got to be very selective and very cautious about what you choose to think about. We've got to take control of our life by standing guard over our thought life. That's why reading the Bible is so very important, because our thoughts become consumed with the message of the Bible. And when our thoughts become consumed with the message of the Bible, guess what? Our lives begin to change. We begin to make different decisions about ourselves. We become new and different people because of that. That's why I say, if you decide to read, for instance, one of the easiest places to start reading the Bible is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. If you read one of those, I guarantee you will be a different person after you read it from the time when you started it. The Bible says that a man thinks so, excuse me, the Bible says as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. We will eventually become what we think. You can't think one thing and become something else. That's like planting an apple tree and expecting an orange, right? If you allow yourself to think negative, worried, fearful thoughts, then you will become a negative, worried, fearful person. You cannot think defeat and expect victory, right? You cannot think poverty and expect wealth. You can't think the worst and expect the best. It just doesn't work that way. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Did you catch that? Let's read that together. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Honestly. This may sound kind of odd, but think back over the last 24 hours. Can you remember half of the things that you thought about in that 24-hour period? We have to think about what we're thinking about. Take inventory of your thought life. You've got to be extremely careful and extremely aware about what you allow into your mind and what you allow yourself to think about and what you choose to dwell on. Satan would love to keep you living a life of defeat by causing you to think thoughts of worry and anxiety and fear. Satan knows that if he can keep our minds all cluttered and confused, we will never be the person God wants us to be. I mean, that makes sense when you read that, doesn't it? But does it make enough sense that we will actually change the way we live our lives and change the way we think? Satan knows if he can keep our minds all cluttered and confused, we will never be the person God wants us to be. So what are God's promises? God gives us a tremendous, tremendous promise. In Isaiah 26:3, if you want to write these down, I hope you are, Isaiah proclaims a word of God that is simple yet profound and powerful. God said, "Those of steadfast mind I keep in peace, because they trust me." Now, what does that imply? Those of steadfast mind I keep in peace, because they trust me. So if we live in fear, what must be our thoughts of God, according to the scripture? Right? If at those points that we live in fear in our life, those are the points that we aren't trusting our Creator. There is something that we all must do if we're going to experience perfect peace. We have to trust God. We've got to control our thought life, guard our minds, saturate our minds with godly thoughts. Now, the unfortunate thing is this doesn't happen automatically, right? We've got to make the decision every day, every hour, every minute. We live in a very negative society, don't we? This culture focuses on what is wrong and not what is right. I live for the day when political candidates, when they spar, if they would say, "You know what? I think they are a great candidate and they'd make a great president." What would happen if the opposing candidate would say that about his? I'd want to vote for that guy, wouldn't you? Man, you know, everything I know about this guy, he's a great guy. I think he'd make a great president. How much more honest can you be and forthright about another person's character than that, instead of tearing him down? Or pointing out what is positive about that person rather than all of the negative garbage that can be brought up in this modern world. Pick up a newspaper or watch the news on TV and see for yourself that the major focus is on the negative in our world. Have you been listening to the news here lately? Now, I don't know about you, but I have to admit I've kind of succumbed to Satan's fear over the last couple weeks. Anybody else? The S&P yesterday lowering the United States to a AA rating. Of course, you know what I think? Oh, dear God, what does that mean about mortgages? What does that mean about the folks in the church? While all of our congressmen and women were playing tiddlywinks and not passing a bill for, so the government wouldn't go belly up, right? I was thinking all the folks in the church and in this community that receive a check from the government, what is going to happen? Right? I mean, I really kind of succumbed to that. I didn't kind of. I probably dove head first, quite honestly. That's scary, isn't it? And of course, you know, the next thought, whether it's primary or not, the next thought that travels behind that is, man, what are we going to do in the church? Right? What's the church going to do? Because there's obviously in church work a trickle-down effect, right? And I'm not necessarily talking about Reaganomics either, but I'm just talking about the reality of how things work, right? How is the church going to do ministry in that situation? I have to admit, I've kind of been in the doldrums thinking about this and what these privileged folks and the decisions that they make for all of us who work every day of our life. Every one of us is going to have plenty of opportunity to focus on wrong things. And we don't get me wrong this morning. Don't get me wrong. We should be bothered. We should have a righteous anger about different things in our life. I don't want you to hear that we should just live this life of serenity and peace and never get angry or bothered. Matter of fact, many times in my prayers, I pray that we as a church are bothered. Because when we're bothered, that's when the work gets done. Amen? Because our energy level increases, right? Yeah, and so many times I pray, but that's a kind of a righteous anger about an injustice that's going on in the world. That there's a difference than that and living in fear, basing all of your life or the decisions that you make on fear. Satan is continually bombarding our minds with ungodly, negative thoughts that are trying to confuse us and distract our attention away from the things of God. Satan is doing his best to slowly and deceitfully infiltrate our minds and bring thoughts of fear and uncertainty about the future. You see, he specializes in fear, amen? Fear of not having our needs met, fear of not being accepted, fear of failure, fear of not living a healthy life. What does that create? What are some words that come to your mind that creates when you live in fear? Indigestion, right? Yeah. Yeah, but let's step back, because that's a medical thing, right? That's an effect. What causes that effect? Stress, worry, anxiety, right? People laugh, but 15 years ago, or however many years ago it's been now, since I became a pastor, I started getting this. I'd wake up and I'd just have headaches and sore throat, and my voice would be so sore. And I went to the doctor, and he says, "Eric, you need some stomach medicine. You have acid reflux." Right? Been Protonics the last time the insurance changed it, and that's another sermon. But anyway, you know, anxiety, worry, doubt, unbelief, confusion, my dad, you know, he may not be medically correct, but I tell you, there's been nothing to prove him wrong. He says there's two things the body can't handle. Anybody want to guess what his opinion is? Fire and stress. He says there's two things the body can't handle, fire and stress. And I tell you what, you know, you think about all the cancer that we have these days and all the different diseases that we have. I have to wonder if stress in people's lives isn't causing us to go down this road. I want you to hear me very carefully today. Negative thoughts do not come from God, and no negative thoughts or fears will come into reality unless you first believe them and then begin to act on that. Does that make sense? Fear is a force like faith is a force. If you give in to fear and start dwelling on that junk and start to act on it, that fear can actually bring things to pass. Are you hearing me today? Just like faith can bring things to pass. Job says, "Truly, the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me." How true is that? We, in this society, we call that a self-fulfilling what? Self-fulfilling prophecy. That's right. Truly, the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. You and I choose every single day what we're going to think about and whether that is good or bad. We choose that. Some of you are thinking, Eric, that's just the way I am. I am from a family of worriers. They're all negative people, Eric. You should meet them. I think I've had this conversation before, haven't I? That's just the way God made us, Eric. With all due respect, I mean this sincerely, with all due respect, Satan has convinced you of that lie. That one of my favorites is, oh, I'm Irish, I lose my temper all the time. Boy, what a better excuse to allow it to be free, right? I'm German. Where does that go? Does that give me excuses? Right? Satan has convinced you that this lie is a truth. Worrying is a choice. And we have got to rise up today in the name of Jesus. Do you hear me? We have got to rise up today in the name of Jesus and break the habit, folks. We have got to break the habit. Amen? We've got to rise up and refuse to listen to Satan's lies. We've got to refuse to let our minds dwell on that junk. Rick Warren, in his book, Purpose Driven Life, that several of you I know have read through the years, it's an oldie but goodie. I can't believe I'm saying that Rick Warren's book is an oldie but goodie. If you know how to worry, Rick says, you already know how to meditate. Worry is focused thinking on something negative. Have you thought about that way? If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Oh, Eric, I'm not a devotion type person. Do you worry? Rick would say, if you worry, guess what? You are a devotion type person. You're just devotioning negative things. And that's called worry. Meditation is doing the same thing, only focusing on God's word instead of your problem. Do you hear the little bit of difference? It's just almost like you take the knob and you just kind of turn it just to the left a little bit. Our scripture for today tells us what we should dwell on, doesn't it? And let's read it together. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think on things that build you up and not tear you down. Think on all the great things God has done for you, like Kathy mentioned in her prayer. Think on all the awesome things the Bible tells you that God has done for you. You have got to dwell on the positive and not the negative. Quit thinking about what you don't have and start thinking about what you do have. Quit thinking about what is wrong with you and start thinking about what is right with you. Quit thinking about how big your problem is. Does this sound familiar? And start dwelling on the fact of how big your God is. I hope that sounds familiar. Yeah, let's read that one out loud. Quit thinking about how big your problem is and start dwelling on the fact of how big your God is. Let's change the your to my. Can we do that? Quit thinking about how big my problem is and start dwelling on the fact of how big my God is. If we are continually thinking about the goodness of God, you're not going to have any time to worry and complain and get down and discouraged. If we are always meditating on God's promises, then we're always going to be filled with a good rapport, and Satan doesn't have any room to influence you. Hallelujah. Do you believe me this morning? Do you really believe me this morning? Or am I just full of hooey? Is that what they say in Arkansas? They say a lot of things in Arkansas. Something that has helped me through the years is to find scripture that focuses on my situation and lifts me up. Then I read them and make them and take them with me wherever I go. And that way, when I'm, wherever I am, I can pull it out of my pocket. I don't have a pocket, do I? I can pull them out of my pocket, and I can remind myself of God's goodness. And they continually remind me of God's goodness. And I even say them out loud. As long as I don't answer, it's all good. All right? I say them out loud so I can hear myself say them. You understand what I'm saying this morning? See, they continually remind me of God's goodness and how God has already supplied every need in my life. Remember when Peter needed money to pay his taxes? You remember this? And Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, go down to the lake and go fishing." We can handle that around this area, can't we? Sure enough, the first fish that Peter caught had enough money to pay both his taxes and the Lord's taxes. We really don't have anything to worry about. When are we going to start living as if that is our reality? When are we going to start living as if that is our reality? God has not gotten weak. God has not become tired and old and grumpy with a long gray beard. He is still well and able and willing to meet every need that you have. Amen. Remember that in the beginning, out of nothing, God created. God said, "Let there be light," and light came at 186,000 miles per second. Try to stop that. God flung the stars into place. Don't you think he can take care of your situation, folks? We have got to quit dwelling on the impossible, the negative, and the hopeless, and begin dwelling on the goodness and the promises of God. So what are you believing for God today? What are you believing for God today? What are you believing for God today? Do you remember what Rick Warren said meditation was? Focusing our negative worry onto a positive God. Keep those scripture handy and read and reread and re-re-read them over and over each day. It doesn't have to be hours. It could take 2 minutes, maybe even 30 seconds, depending on your scripture. And do it over and over and over and over again. You see, again, how much do we allow God's words to sink into our lives versus news and television? Think about it. How much time do you spend in God's word, in God's place of worship, with a small group here at this church, allowing God to infuse you versus listening to the rumor mill, versus watching the news, versus watching, are soaps even on anymore? Oh, shoot. But anyway, you hear what I'm saying? Seriously, think about that. Measure it. Quantify that. How much time do you spend in God's places, and how much time do you spend in other places? Let's read Philippians 4:8 together again. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Remember that our thoughts create pictures in our imagination, and as you dwell on what God says about you, you'll start seeing yourself prosperous and victorious and whole and healthy, and you will have no space for Satan and his sly games. Amen? You absolutely will become a different person as you change your thinking. Is it easy? No. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it, wouldn't they? Don't forget to find those scriptures that are helpful to you in your situation and write them down and read them over and over again each day, even many times a day, and push Satan's negativity and fear out of your life. I want to finish this message by reading this scripture one more time together. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about them. I empower you this day to think about those things. I empower you this day to have the courage in your life to start meditating on the things of God rather than worrying on those negative things that Satan is trying to convince you of. Let's pray. Holy and all-powerful God, we give you thanks and praise. We celebrate what you do for us in our life each and every day. We celebrate ultimately, God, that your Son Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die for each one of us. So the sin that we have in our life, God, not living up to your purposes, allowing Satan to win over with fear and worry and anxiety, all these things can be forgiven in Jesus' name. And we can renew our relationship with you, God. That eternal relationship. We celebrate you. We celebrate Jesus Christ, and we celebrate that healing Holy Spirit that is a part of our lives today. Holy God, if there is someone in this room that has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior through Jesus Christ, I just ask right now, in this time of silence, God, that they would meditate on you, that they would find that courage in their life to accept you, God, to ask for your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Lord, Savior, and leader of their life. Thank you, God. And now, as we are gifted by taking Holy Communion in your church, may all of us gather at your table, celebrating as a family, Lord. Family that you created thousands of years ago through your Son hanging on a cross. Help us, God, to live the life that you would have us live. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion, would you please turn to the song of thanksgiving, God of Grace and God of Glory. Let's do the first and the last stanzas. 577. Please stand if you are able. With Holy Communion this morning, would you please come forward at this time? This is a great time in the life of the church. Think about it. This meal, although this bread is made by human hands, this juice is made by human hands. All of this is made by human hands. What we celebrate, what this symbolizes, what this reminds us of, is what God did for us through Jesus Christ. You've all heard the story before, how the Hebrew people had a Passover meal and they celebrated and partied and just celebrated God's power in their life. And when it came for Jesus, when it came time for Jesus to be betrayed, he was celebrating with his friends, what we call his disciples, the Passover meal. Because, you know, the angel of death passed over the Hebrew households back in Egypt because of the blood of the Lamb. Guess what the blood of the Lamb is for us? We celebrate today how the angel of death, remember, if you accept Christ into your heart, the devil can't get to your spirit. We celebrate the fact that the angel of death passes over our homes today because of the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, made atonement for our sins. This is something we truly should celebrate. On that night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And as he looked at his best friends, his brothers, his disciples, he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for each one of you." Each time you eat this bread, remember. Remember me. And at a later time during the meal, once again Jesus stood and he took a cup that was sitting on the table and he gave thanks to God. And once again he looked at each of his disciples as if he's speaking to each one of them individually, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Each time you drink from this cup, remember. Remember me." Let us pray. Holy God, we do remember. We thank you, and we do celebrate in our own way, God, the amazing gift of forgiveness, the grace that you have laid upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate, God, how that helps us, how that makes us live our lives differently. We celebrate the spiritual aspect that Satan's warfare does not enter in. And today we ask God for you to empower us to go out and be the true message of you, to be the smile of Jesus that others see, to be the hands of Jesus that others experience, to be the eyes of Jesus that show we care. We are your eyes on this earth. Help us, God, to be man enough to do it. Help us be woman enough to do it, God. Help us be strong enough to show your love and grace and mercy. Help us be a healing presence in this community and around the world. Help us be generous in every area of our life, Lord, because you gave freely to us. That's what we celebrate today. Let us now say the Lord's Prayer using trespasses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In the United Methodist Church, all are welcome to come forward who are searching for a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. We take communion in two different ways in this church: by intinction, which means you will be given a piece of bread and then you dip it in the juice and take it at that time, Or we also have the wafers and the little goblets for you to take communion as well if you choose. Please know that you are welcome in this church to experience God's grace. Prepare your hearts and minds as we serve each other here this morning.